Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to all my brothers and sisters out there in the Lord and those that are not in the Lord. We can make an arrangement that you can become a saved person. And nothing that you have to do but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and let Christ come into your life so he can change you forever. Amen. You'll never be the same after you meet Jesus Christ. There's nobody like him, nobody equal to him. Nobody can do what he does. He is the creator. He is the maker. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's everything that's good, everything that's righteous, everything that's pure, everything that is lovely. Amen. This is Elder Bazaar. This is the Watchman on the Wall. Amen. End Time Global Link Ministry coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going to stretch the radio, the telephone right on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. To Block Talk Radio. And we're on for 2 hours. We're going to be talking about salvation through Jesus Christ only. Salvation through Jesus Christ only. Only. O-N-L-Y. There's no other name given under heaven whereby you can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. For he is the Son of God. He is God Almighty in the flesh. No other way. No angel, no cherubim, no seraphim, no other creature can do what Jesus Christ can do, because he is the creator. He is the maker and the designer of all creation. Everything was made by him. Without him, there is nothing made that is made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Oh, yes, we are in a awful time, but we are in a good time. We are in the time for the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are absolutely, definitely living in the last days. Jesus Christ is soon to come. He's coming as a thief in the night. He's coming to get the church that he purchased with his own blood. There's no way that you can become a child of God but through the blood of Jesus Christ, for he is the one that was crucified. Other men was hung on crosses. Amen. Other men was tortured on crosses. But this cross that I'm talking about is a unique cross. It is considered to be the cross of salvation. This is the only way. God cannot come back to this earth and die again and be resurrected again from the dead. He cannot do that. That's one thing God cannot do. It's impossible for God to die and suffer again for the sins of man. He will never do it again. So listen to me. Listen to me close. Don't miss this salvation that was brought here from heaven by God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. Amen. Don't miss it. Don't die without Jesus Christ in your life. Please don't die. If you do anything, don't die now. I know I don't control death. I don't control life. But I plead to you, don't die without Christ. I don't care how bad you've been. I don't care how sinful you've been. I don't care how unrighteous you've been. Jesus Christ can make it right. He can make it right forever. Amen. Once you come to Jesus Christ and give your life to him and have a changed life, knowing that you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. Love is the key. Amen. You know you've been saved if you love everybody. Oh, love people who you've never seen. Love people who you have seen. Love people who don't know you. Love the unlovely. Amen. That they can become lovely by the lifestyle you live and through the love of Jesus Christ. because God so loved the world, my, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never perish. Let's bow our heads. Eternal Father, we come to you at this hour, at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Use my lips of clay that I might speak to somebody's soul, that I may speak to somebody's spirit, that I may warn the word, what the word of God said that would happen in the last days. Bless those in hospitals, saints asylum, those that's on street corners, those that are homeless, those that are not homeless. Bless the world in general. Bless the communities. Bless the young people, Lord. Realize that they need a Savior. Without Jesus Christ, they won't make it through this life without him. A lot of people, we know that people can live without God in their life, but at the end of their life, they ought to know, amen, if they know you as your personal Savior. We thank you, Lord. Go with me. Go with the ones that are out there listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, indeed, we are Watchmen on the Wall, End Time Global, Worldwide, Universal, Link Ministry, preaching to anybody that want to listen. Listen to what? The greatest news that ever hit this planet. And that greatest news is that Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back as a thief in the night. And we are living in that last generation. The last generation began at 1948. That was the beginning of the last generation. Jesus Christ said this generation begins when you see the fig leaf, buddy, you know that time is nigh. And the fig tree in the Bible represents Israel, represent the Jewish nation, represent the Hebrew nation, represent the nation that alone God used in a powerful way for the Bible to be written, for Jesus Christ to come, and for the Israel to show all heathen nations, that there's only one true, living, eternal God. All other gods are considered in the Bible as fallen angels. They claim the godhood. They tried to be like God. They tried to do the things that God do. Basically, Lucifer is the one that started all this year's God-like power that men have, that they can be their own God, that they can run their own lives, but they cannot do it. It leads into destruction. Anything other than the true God leads into destruction. And there are many fallen angels, many Nephilims, many demigods, which are wicked angels that used to be in the presence of God, used to be God's agents. Used to be, but now they have become devils. They have become ruination. They have become so foul and so messed up and so debauchery that they have the world in the same condition that they are. The world is in a mess because of Lucifer. Lucifer brings destruction and confusion. Lucifer hates. Angels, fallen angel hate. And there's billions of people upon this earth. And every one of them come from the fallen race, the fallen race of Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, Satan took over humanity. And he has tried to make a wreck out of humanity. He has tried to defy God Almighty. He has tried to take the place of God, which he can never do. There's no government on this planet that will ever last. The only government that will last upon this planet forever, that's the government of God. And the government of God is not here yet. The government of God is coming. The government of God is coming after the 7-year tribulation and the battle of Armageddon. Then the government of God will take rule through the millennium reign of Jesus Christ. Christ will rule the world. He will rule the world, and the Spirit of the Lord will cover the face of the earth like the water covers the seas and the oceans. Christ will rule with the rod of iron, and we're on our way. We're definitely on our way to the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, because the world is almost unfit to live in. Now, that don't mean that isn't some nice places to go and nice things to see. That's beautiful. God has made this world beautiful, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But when man became corrupt through the fall of Lucifer, the human race has come corrupt and abominable to God. Many people today don't believe in God. Many people believe there's no heaven, there's no hell. Many people believe that this Jesus Christ is a farce. They think it's a phony. They think it's a Mickey Mouse thing. They think it's a Donald Duck thing. But it's not. It's real. God is real. And he already proved it. He proved it by creation. He proved it by his birth. He proved it by his suffering. He proved it by his love that he had for the world. He proved it by his death. He proved it by his resurrection. He proved it by saying, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will absolutely, definitely come again and receive you into myself. So after he died on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ went back to heaven. And he said, if I go away, I'm going to come again. And the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be no suffering on the cross. There will be no death on the cross. He has fulfilled that. This time he's coming. He's coming to do what? Judge the world. Judge the world. Judge every human being on the face of the earth. He's going to do it. He's going to judge the angels. He's going to judge the fallen angels. He's going to judge the righteous angels. He's going to judge the church. He's going to judge Israel. He's going to judge the tribulation saints. He's going to judge the millennium saints. After the millennium is over, they're going to be judged. Every human being, great, small, make no difference what race or creed or color or ethnic background you come from, rich or poor, poor or rich. Every human individually is going to be judged by the Almighty God. And thank God for Jesus Christ. Because when he came, he made a way that we can escape the wrath of God. Oh, man, old days. We that are saved can escape the wrath of God. God got a wrath side. And God got an everlasting mercy side. His mercy endureth forever, but his wrath is short. His wrath is terrible. It's a day of reckoning coming upon the human race. Not because God wanted to destroy the human race or he wanted to put people in hell. No, he don't want to do that. God resents of doing that. God gave his son that every human being can escape the damnations of hell. Wow. That's awesome. 7.1 billion people on the planet now. And God loves every individual on this planet. And he's going to make a way. He made a way and to escape the pits of hell. Because let me tell you, my friends, I'm talking right now, and I'm trying to give you an outline. I'm going to get some scriptures in a minute. Amen. God is giving man an opportunity. He gave him already 6,000 years of human history. And the 6,000 years in 2029. That is the final, and this is the final generation. This is the generation. Absolutely. Definitely. This is the generation in which Jesus Christ will return to earth. He's coming back to earth. He left earth on the top of the Mount of Olives. And he told his disciples, I'm going away for a period of time. I'm going away, and God's time will be 2 days, which equals 2,000 years. And he said, on the third day, I will rise up Israel and make them the head of the nation. And the third day is the millennium reign, which concludes of 7,000 years of human history. God is going to deal with man and try to woo many back to him in the right relationship through one man. One man can only bring, oh my God, let me take a breath here. Only one man can bring us back to God, and that man is Christ Jesus, the God-man, God in man, God working through man, man Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus did, it was God Almighty in him, in the flesh, walked among men, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, talked to people, walked with people, fed people, healed people. He's doing that today. He's doing it today. He's saving people. He's saving people every day. And I guess people say, well, if he's saving people, how come the world ain't getting no better? Well, it depends on how many. Minority of the population of the world will accept Jesus Christ. The majority will reject Jesus Christ. Don't be in that position that you will reject Jesus Christ. Please don't. Please don't, because people think preaching the cross is foolishness. And it is foolishness to those that perish, those that's going to hell. There's a waste of time. I ain't got time for that. Apostle Paul wrote that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. He said, preaching of the cross to those that perish is foolishness, but to those that are saved, it is the power of God into salvation. So preaching of the cross to those that are lost is foolishness. Man, you talking yang. You talking foolishness when you talk about me giving my life to Christ and living like Jesus Christ. I don't want to live like Jesus Christ. I want to have my fun. I want to party, man. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to give my heart and soul to Christ, because, man, I don't live but a short life, and I can't be giving my life, because they believe, this is what a lot of people believe, they think living for Christ is a dull life. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The most exciting, wonderful life that you ever can live is to live for Jesus Christ. Because after I die and leave this planet, I got another place to go to. I got a place where it's always howdy, 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 and never goodbye. I don't have to worry about nothing no more. I'll be rejoicing forever and ever and ever and ever, forever, 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 forever more, because what? Christ lives in my life. He washed my sins away, completely away. I am no more a sinner. I am no more unrighteous. I'm no more hating people, disliking people, and resentful. I don't have that in my heart. I love everybody. I want to see everybody go to heaven. I do. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to miss heaven. And the only way that they can get there is not church membership. It's not how good I look. It's not how much money I got. It's not how my friends treat me. It's not how the preacher shake my hand. It ain't got nothing to do how I sing. It ain't got nothing to do with how well I can talk. It ain't got nothing to do with the things I do and don't do. It ain't got nothing to do with it. The only thing that can get you to heaven is that every man got to repent of his sin and receive Christ in their life. That's it. If you receive Christ in your life by faith, through repentance of sin and turning from your unrighteousness, turning from your lying, turning from your doubt and fears, turning from everything that's not like God, and receive Christ in your life and tell him to come on in, Jesus, please come in. I'm tired of living like this. I'm not happy. I've been taking drugs. Lord have mercy. Listen, I'm talking for other people now. I've been taking drugs, I've been drinking, I've been having my sex ecstasy, and I've been having a good time, but I'm not happy. I'm not joyful, because I know there's a time coming when I'm going to have to die, and I'm going to have to face God Almighty. And you cannot face God Almighty without accepting his son, Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to emphasize on is Christ is the answer to all our problems. And because you're a Christian, that don't mean you're not going to have no problem, because you're going to have problems, more, probably more than you do without Jesus Christ. But one thing about it, I'd rather go to hell and high water with Jesus Christ than to try to go to hell and high waters without Christ and have my fun and have my women and have my drink. And I don't want to go through that kind of lifestyle. I want Jesus Christ to fix my life, and he fixed it by his blood. The Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Don't you know the Bible's a blood book? Don't you know anything that was done, amen, in the Old Testament? For God to forgive man of sin had to be through animal blood. Do you know that? It had to be. It had to be done through blood. Because if it wasn't done through blood, God will not accept it in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, they didn't have nobody that was able to die that early. Huh? Nobody was able to die that early. You say anything that came before Christ was too early. Anything that came after Christ was too late. But when Christ came, he came at the proper time. After 4,000 years of animal sacrificing, burning animals and killing animals and using the blood for the atonement of people's sin, the Jews did that for almost 3,000 years. And the patriarchs before that used blood, such as Cain and Abel. Cain did not use blood. Abel used the blood of a lamb. You understand what I'm saying? He used the blood of the lamb. Because God Almighty, after the fall of Adam and Eve, they gave them the substance. He gave them the formula of the way to get rid of sin and to cover sin. And that was animal's blood. Only a clean animal, such as lamb, turtle doves, bullocks, goats, all clean animals practically was used for blood sacrifice. Got to have that blood. There's three kinds of bloods in the Bible. Three kinds of blood. There's animal blood, man's blood, and the blood of Christ. And no man can live without blood in his body. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, the soul is in the blood. Ooh, what is he saying? He's saying life is in the blood. Life is in the blood of the animal. Life is in the blood of a man. In order for you to live, you got to have a blood system. Yes. Yes, yes, you got to have a blood system. A baby is born, a child is born, it has to have a blood system. My God, you can't live without blood. You can't live with a water. You can't live with a water system. You can't live with any kind of other fluid in the body. You cannot live. You got to have a blood system because it was designed by God Almighty. And when God designed it and ordained it to be the life-sustaining way for you to live, it's got to happen. So blood is life itself in the blood. I can't say it enough. I can't exemplify it enough. I can't exalt it enough. And so the animal blood in the Old Testament was used as an atonement for the sins of man temporarily, because there was nothing else, amen, as pure as animal blood, because man's blood was sinful. Man's blood was filled with sin and debauchery and all kinds of sins that the blood was carrying. And so nobody was able to redeem man. Nobody. God could not redeem man unless he used the animal blood. Woo! And that was a covering until types and shadow had to be done with until the real deal comes. And the real deal was when Jesus Christ, born of a Virgin Mary in Bethlehem of Judea, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Somebody had to have a blood system that was sinless. Woo! Can you get a hold of this? Can you get a grip of this with your spiritual mind? The only one that had a sinless blood system was God himself, and he had to come a man in order for the blood system to activate, to be activated. After the blood system was activated, and when was that? When was that? After Jesus Christ suffered and died, went in the grave for 3 days, and on the third day, he was resurrected, what? By the power of God, the blood system was open. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood that's filled with Emmanuel's vein. If the sinner, good God Almighty, if the sinner fall beneath the flow, he will lose all his guilty stain. If you're a sinner today, if you're lost and undone, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're guilty of sin. You're guilty as sin because you have sin. And the only way that you can get rid of that sin that's in your soul, in your blood, is through the blood of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. Because when the fountain was open and Jesus Christ came back from the dead, the Spirit of God had power enough to save humanity from sin because of the shed blood Jesus Christ paid for on Calvary's cross. He paid the debt. Oh, come on, y'all. He paid the debt. In order for him to pay the debt, he had to die. He had to be crucified. He had to shed every bit of his blood on Calvary's cross. He died because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on Calvary's cross, and all of it was shed for our sin. He was bleeding before he got to the cross. He was bleeding down there when they was whipping him, 39 stripes on his back. They was bleeding when they knocked him in the jaw and spit on him and kicked him and said, if you was a son of God, why don't you save yourself? They embarrassed him. They crucified him. And I want to get drama. He was a bloody mess. They messed over him. They messed up his face. They messed up his back. They whipped him until you could see the sinews in his back. You could see the muscles and the gristles. They whipped him until his face was disfigured like never before. He was disfigured so much that Isaiah said, men did not desire to look upon his face. Why? Because sin, oh my God, sin did it. Your sins did it. Your lying did it. Your fornication did it. Your adultery, your unbelief did it. Your doubt did it. Everything that you did it. You nailed him on the cross. I nailed him on the cross. The whole world nailed him on the cross. Crucified Christ on the cross. And they say, well, good, he's dead. But they don't realize if he wouldn't have got up from the grave. Yes, my God. Come on now, listen to what I'm saying. This is the Bible truth. If he wouldn't have got up from the grave, every human being on the planet would go to hell. All right. I'll say that again. If Jesus Christ wouldn't have got up from the grave, every human being would go to hell. And hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for mankind. But since man is sinned and against God, he could no longer come in the presence of God because of his unrighteousness and of his sinful nature and of the fallen race. And God made an eternal plan to redeem man And the only redemption that men have upon the face of the earth now is the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ by his burial, death, and resurrection. Woo! The devil can't take that. The devil can't stand that. The devil resists that. And so what Satan does, he comes up with other ways and they'll put it into men's mind and their hearts that there's another way that you can go to heaven, that you can be born again, that you can see God and live with God again. No way, no way. The devil don't have no way to reach God because, number one, he's a fallen angel. He's a fallen angel. Number two, he's never been human. Number three, he don't have a blood system. Oh, good God Almighty. He don't have a blood system. And that's why he can't stand the blood of Jesus Christ, because he knows that in that blood system, there is redemption. He knows that. He knows it more than you do. He knows it more than I do. He knows the blood system of Jesus Christ was sinless. It was powerful. It had redemption in it. It had sanctification in it. It had holiness in it. It has love. The blood of Jesus Christ is filled with love because he was willing enough to shed his blood because he wanted to love you, and he loved you so much that he was willing to shed his blood. Come on, y'all. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. This is Bible. This is Bible. I'm here today to let you know that we are in a time like never before. Human history is getting ready to fold up. There's more blood being shed on streets and murderers and people killing one another and shooting one another. Blood is being shed every day. And they're dying to death. They're dying lost. All these people are dying today in violence and stuff and killing and wars. Most of them is dying in death. They're dying separated from God. If everybody was saved today, you would do away with every sin that's on the face of the earth. You wouldn't have to worry about beer joints, lying. You wouldn't have to worry about whorehouses. You wouldn't have to worry about all kinds of trafficking and everything. Why? Because the love of Jesus Christ would be in, and you would never be able to do the things that people are doing outside of Christ now. They're killing one another. They're killing babies like peanuts. They're wiping out babies coming out the mother's womb and using body parts for scientific experiences. They tell me young women and young men today are being used as child pornography from the ages, I don't know how young they are, 9 and 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girls are being used as styling as pornographic literature. Men are using these young girls, these young boys for prostitution, devilish, diabolical, ruination of Satan. Satan don't care nothing about you. He don't care a dime about you. And the thing that he wants to do is destroy the beautiful creation that God made man after his likeness and after his style and after his holiness, and the devil wants to destroy it. And the only way he can destroy it is through himself without the blood of Jesus Christ. He came to destroy you if you know Jesus Christ. He will never destroy you. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ can keep you through eternity. Nobody can steal it from you. Nobody can drive it out of you. Nobody can pour it out of you. Why? Because salvation is free. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall never, never perish, but have everlasting life. Satan is out to get you. And he got the nations. He's got the communities. He's got the world. He's got the young people. He's got church folks believing that they can go to heaven without salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're not going to make it. I'll tell you, the Bible promised you that. The Bible promised you that. If you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the devil now is what? out there roaring like a lion, seeking who he may devour. He don't care who you are, what you are, where you're coming from. I thank God for the word of God this evening. I thank God that he's coming back soon to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. I thank God for now we're living in the last days. We got at least 8 more years before 2029. And the tribulation period has to come before 2029. 2029 concludes 6,000 years. So 2029 is the close of the last of the last generation. This generation will never be retained and brought back. Why? Because this is the generation that Jesus Christ talked about in the book of Matthew's 24th chapter. He said, when you see Israel come to budding, the time is nigh. And Israel been budding for the last 74 years is back in its rightful place. The Jews are looking. They are looking for their Messiah. They're looking for the Messiah that they think that is their Messiah. But it is not going to be their Messiah. It's going to be the false Christ. It's going to be the ultimate false Christ that Satan has already, and that is the Antichrist. The word anti means against, to show authority over God, to try to take the place of God. Antichrist. The devil has always tried to take the place of God, try to take the place of heaven, try to take the place of the humanity. And now there's men, women, boys, and girls think they God. Think God is dead. Think God is crazy. Think God is lunatic. Think God don't care for them. But let me tell you, God cares for you more than you can ever think of. You can't even comprehend how much God cares for his creation, and that is mankind. And that's why he's given man a period of 7,000 years to deal with man. And man is continually saying, I don't need him. I don't want him. I'm having a good time. I got my money. I got my women. I got my, I got my drugs. I got my marijuana. I got my alcohol. I got everything. I got cars. I got real estate. I got gold. I got silver. They say, oh, we don't need no God. But let me tell you, whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you come from, you're going to need God before you leave this planet. You're going to need it. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil trick you. You might be doing pretty good right now, but there's a time coming during the tribulation. Man, it's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be a day of reckoning. It's going to be a day of judgment. It's going to be a day of retribution. It's going to be a day of what? It's going to be a day when men and women are going to cry out to the mountains. Listen to what I'm saying. They're going to cry out to the mountains and say, oh, mountains, fall on us. Hide us from the one that sitteth on the throne. Because no sinner will ever stand before a righteous God and be satisfied. It's going to be a dreadful day. It's going to be a day of gloominess. It's going to be a day of recompense. It's going to be a day when men are going to find out they were dead wrong in believing that there's no God and that God don't care. It's going to be a day like never before. And we get ready to head into it. We're going in head on in. And that is the tribulation period. That's when Satan will take over this earth. Yes, he is. He's going to have control of it to a period of 7 years. He's going to fool a lot of people. A lot of people will follow this Antichrist, going to follow this man of sin, the son of perdition, going to follow this man that later on he's called the beast, and he's going to be a beast because Satan. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Satan is going to incarnate him. Satan is going to take control of his body and enter into his body. Let me take a breath on that. I said Satan is going to enter into this body of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is a human being. He's a man. He's a prince. He's a king. King of Spain. He's alive today, 53 years old, 6'6", 6 letters in his name. Jerusalem has already considered him as being the king of Jerusalem. The Jews are right now planning to build a third temple, a third temple. And the Jews got to have their temple because they don't have it. They had the first temple built by Solomon, the second temple built by Herod, and that was destroyed in 70 AD, and the Jews have never had a temple since 70 AD, because the temple that Jesus Christ said, there won't be one stone left upon another that shall not fall down. They haven't built a temple until this present day in which they're going to reestablish a new temple. Why? Because they believe that Judaism is not over. But let me tell you to the Jewish friend, the Judaism is over. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, he fulfilled the law. And the fulfillment of the law is love. And God loved the world so much that he said, now the law condemns, but grace, woo, and love, amen, forgives. And he forgives you, amen, by washing your soul in his blood to cleanse you from all sins through the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Antichrist is here. He's been here since 1968. 1968, he was born. He was born in Western Europe. He will come out of Europe. He will come out of the fallen Roman Empire. His name is King Philippe. You never heard of him. Very few people have heard of him, but he's in the background right now. He won't be revealed to the world. He won't be revealed to the world until after an event will happen. And that event is the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. Let me tell you, not the Baptist church, not the Presbyterian church, not the Church of God in Christ, not the Church of God, not no kind of denomination or no kind of occult. He's not coming after that. He's only coming after the church that he washed with his blood. And he did it by the cross. He did it himself. Nobody helped him. Nobody. Angels came and ministered to him after his temptation. But nobody helped him. God alone did it himself. And he is worthy to get all the praise because he brought salvation. Free, don't have to pay a dime. Saved by faith, through grace, not we ourselves, least and most. Salvation is free. And people don't want it. They want to continue in sin. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to repent. But the Bible says, except the man repent, he shall likewise perish into the everlasting fire forever and ever and ever and ever. And ever. Nobody gonna take anything to hell with them. You ain't taking nothing but five things to hell. Five things you gonna take to hell with you. You gonna take your eyesight. You gonna take your smell. You gonna take your hearing. You gonna take your speech. You gonna take your memory. You gonna take all five of them. And you are going to be tormented forever in hell because, not the color of your skin, because, not your status quo, because, not because you're rich, because you rejected the greatest event that hit this planet 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born in the manger wrapped in swaddling clothes, was God Almighty, and guess what? Lord have mercy. He ran the world in the cradle. How? The world still went on. The sun still shined. And the baby was God Almighty in the flesh, and he still ruled the world. You talking about power. You talking about awesome power. And he came down here without any disturbance. The earth didn't stop turning. The sun didn't stop going up. Hey, the water still is still rain, and he was in the cradle. And the wise men had heard about the Savior. They came all the way from the east to meet the west. And when they found that star that was set in the heavens, it was a spotlight to show them, the wise men, exactly where the child was born. And when they saw the child laying in the manger, they had gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the highest quality of ointments. Gold is the most precious stone, precious metal on the planet, showing the deity of this child. The myrrh is embalming, for embalming, knowing that he's going to die. Frankincense, sweet-smelling savior. Oh, yes, indeed. Sweet-smelling savior. They brought these gifts to this child. And when they brought this child, and Jesus was 12 years old, he still was running the planet. When he was 18 of his years was not even written, he still was running the planet. When he was 30 years old, he still was running the planet. He knew what was going on in heaven. He knew what was going on in hell. He knew, and guess what? He was dealing with the human race. He came all the way down through 42 generations to deal with the human race and to save the souls of mankind. Stayed on this earth for 33.5 years and did more than all the men in the world over the period of 6,000 years. He did more in that 33 years than any man ever did. You know why? He was God. There you go. He was God. By him being God, he said, I'm going to do something that no man ever done, no other God ever done. He became man. With a blood system. I'm going back to that blood again. And so we're living in the last days now. Jesus Christ is soon to come. All that you see today is in the Word of God. All the wars that you see is in the Word of God. The falling away from the faith is in the Word of God. The church on general has fell away from the faith, and falling away from the faith means falling away from the what? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the burial of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You cannot serve God. You cannot be a child of God until you have been born again. A lot of people say we're all God's children. In a way we are, but all people are not, don't belong to God. There's a lot of people don't want God. There's a lot of people refute God. A lot of people deny God. So if you deny God, you cannot be a real deal of being a child of God. You must accept Jesus Christ before you can become a son of God. When you become a son of God, God has put his stamp of approval on you through his blood. And so now you are no longer of the world, but you're in the world. You no longer have any desire to try to find pleasure and good times and partying and doing what you want to do. You now want to please God. You want to please God. You want to live for him. You want to show your light to the world to identify yourself with the heavenly gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You want to love people. You want to help people understand that they got a soul. You got a soul. And if you haven't repented of your sin and give your life to Christ, you're lost. You're lost. Don't die lost. Don't die lost. There's things yet to be fulfilled. From 48 to 1948 till this present day, Israel is getting ready to meet the infamy of the Antichrist. They are building the third temple. The third temple is consisted of reestablishing Judaism, Judaism, as I say, will never be reestablished. The Antichrist will come on the scene pretty soon. He ain't got to come. He is coming. He is coming because the Jews are building the temple. The Jews are getting ready to build the temple. The temple, as far as the Jews, they say we got to have the temple because we got to offer animal sacrifices. The Antichrist comes. When he comes, he's going to verify and sign a covenant with the Jewish people, the nations of Israel. They're going to sign a covenant. And the covenant will be that the Antichrist will give the Jews 7 years of protection. And the 7 year protection the Jews will accept because the Antichrist is going to give them permission to go back to the old judicial law teaching and sign a covenant that they can build a temple and settle where it's going to be built and let them know, you go ahead and build that temple. The Antichrist is going to verify that. It's going to be public. It's going to be on TV. It's going to be on internet. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be published around the world. And the Jews are going to say, our Messiah is here. They're going to claim that this man is Jesus, and it's not going to be Jesus. It's going to be the Antichrist, anti-God. It's going to be the specimen that the devil is going to use to claim that he is God Almighty. Uh-oh, yes, indeed, my friends. The devil is going to claim that he is Jesus. And the Jews are going to say, yes, we will make an agreement of 7 years. You give us protection for 7 years. Give us protection and we will accept you as being our Messiah, which is a lie. And Jesus Christ said, there's a day coming that when I come back, you're going to accept the Antichrist before you accept me. And he said, I come in my Father's name, and y'all will not accept me as being the true Messiah. But if another man comes on the scene and claims his deity in his own name, y'all will accept. And when the Antichrist comes, the Jews are going to accept that he is the Messiah, which will be the biggest lie, the biggest lie in the whole universe, that this Antichrist will claim that he is Jesus Christ, and in the middle of the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, he's going to claim that he is God Almighty. And we're going to find that out in the what? In the book of Thessalonians. Let's go to the book of Thessalonica. And there we will find, amen, the place in which the Antichrist will claim that he is God Almighty. First, he claims that he is Christ. The Jews signed the treaty. When the Jews signed the treaty, they tell me that they are going to accept the rebuilding of the temple and the offering of sacrifices of animals. And the Jews are going to say, yes, this is him. And in the middle of the tribulation, after there's going to be a false peace, there's going to be a false peace. Hallelujah. And during this false peace, the Jews are going to sign a covenant. And the covenant will be consisted of the temple building and the offering of sacrifices and offerings. And here's what Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, the epistle of Paul the Apostle, He says, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together into him, which is the rapture. That's that verse right there. That first verse says, the gathering together into him, which means the church will be gathered together with him in the air. That's that first verse. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. In other words, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many a mansion. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you into myself. That's the rapture in the 14th chapter of St. John. So there's going to be a gathering together from the four corners of the earth. God is going to rapture the blood-bought church. He bought it. He bought it. He bought it. He bought it with his blood. And those that repent and receive Christ, they've been washed in the blood. And if you're not washed in the blood, you will be left here at the time of the rapture. You can be in church. You can be at the grocery store. You'll be at the bank. You can be anywhere on the planet. I don't care. Well, you can be in the jungles of Africa. You can be down at Harlem in New York City. I don't care where you at. If you've been born again, saved and sanctified, you're out of here. Christ will call you and we'll gather together unto him in the air. It says, second verse says, that ye be not soon shaken, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word. I don't care what nobody tell you. Some people say ain't going to be none. And some say, well, there's going to be one. There's going to be a post, a rapture. There's going to be a mid-trib rapture. There's going to be some say, I don't believe in a rapture at all. Well, that ain't going to, don't be troubled. Don't be confused. Because there is going to be a catching away. If God said it, it's settled. It's going to happen. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter. Anybody writing in the phone these letters? Amen. Telling you that the rapture is going to happen on top of the mountain and you're going to put on your skirt, your white dresses, and put a crown on your head and wait up there. Don't you believe that crap. Either sell your houses and go in the woods somewhere. Don't do that. The Bible says, occupy till I come. In other words, do your daily work. Do your daily chores. Live for the Lord. Live for the Lord. Have your mind on heavenly things. Have your mind on getting out of here. Have your mind on bringing somebody with you. Have your mind on the ones that's going to be left here. Tell them what's going to happen. Let them know what's going to happen. Because the Bible's already told what exactly going to happen. It's going to be like a twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ, those that died in Christ will what? Come up out of their graves. The graves will bust open. Every grave on the planet will bust open. Those that know Jesus Christ, that died in Jesus Christ, the graves will open up, and we that remain alive shall be what? Caught up together. All right, there's that together again. In the air to meet with the Lord, and so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. That means we're out of here. Nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. It's right now. Ain't nothing hindered. Few things have to make an adjustment. There's a few more things that have to make an adjustment, and then we're out of here. And I'm going to tell you the adjustment that has to be made before we get out of here. That adjustment is, number one, the temple. Number two, the Antichrist is alive. Number three, he's not hidden from the world, but the world has not been revealed to the world. He has to be revealed to the world. After the rapture of the church is over, then the Antichrist will be revealed to the world, as such as in the sixth chapter of Revelation, John said, I saw a white horse riding. Not literally is a horse going to ride through the sky. No, that ain't going to happen. It's a symbolic of the Antichrist riding a white horse. Why a white horse? Well, a horse is the fastest land animal that can move. A horse is the most wonderful and beautiful running animal on the planet. Nobody can run like a horse. Horses was used up to 1789. 1789 was the year that the horse became obsolete. And nobody don't ride no horses up and down the highways now. Only the Amish does. Nobody don't ride horses, even in foreign country. People use horses, but they don't use them like they used to. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. This white horse had power enough to go and conquer the earth. And he said, Let me go and get the scripture. I can find it real quick. Amen. I can find it real quick for you. Turn to the sixth chapter of Revelation. We see the horse getting ready to ride. And it only start riding. It's been riding for a long time. It's been riding for a long time. But the final one is coming right here. It says, the second verse says, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he, that's a male gender, and he that sat on him had a bow, diplomacy. He's coming on a peace platform. He's coming in peace. He's coming in real meek. He's coming in, oh, real sweet. He's coming in talking a whole, I call it yang. He's going to talk a whole lot of jive. He's going to talk, and he said, had a bow. The bow represent diplomacy and a crown. Now, you notice he don't have no arrows because it's not going to be by war that he's going to come. He's going to come on a peace platform. He's going to come in peace. And a crown was given unto him. A crown wasn't given unto him until the middle of the tribulation period. I want you to understand this now. He cannot receive a crown until an event happened in the middle of the tribulation period. Well, Brother Bazard, what is the event that's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period? The uniquest events that's going to strike the world is the Antichrist will be assassinated. He will be shot through the head by an assassin. And he's going to lay in the morgue for 3 days. Now, you got to understand, Lucifer is going to do a duplicate of a fake, phony, quack resurrection. He's going to resurrect it, but it ain't going to be authentic. It's going to be Satan working behind this. Because he have power enough with God's permission to resurrect this Antichrist. God is going to give him that power because what God is doing, he's letting the world be judged during the time of the tribulation period. Because men are going to have to make a decision who are they going to accept. Are they going to accept Jesus Christ by faith or they are going to accept the Antichrist by sight and what he says? Are they going to exclude the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? If they accept the Antichrist, that's what they're doing. They're saying that it's not necessary to accept the blood of Jesus Christ, and they're going to what? They are going to believe that this man is Jesus Christ, and he has no evidence. He has no evidence that he is Jesus Christ, not one so ever. Why? He don't have no nail prints in his hands. He don't have no pierced side. He don't have no nail prints in his feet. He don't have no crown of thorns planted on his head. He's never suffered. He never suffered. He never carried a cross. Good God Almighty. Come on, y'all. Can't y'all see what I'm trying to tell you? He never shed any blood. He never talked to his father. He never went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He never fed 5,000. Good God Almighty, this man talking about he's Jesus Christ. He had no evidence, and yet still the world will believe that he is Jesus Christ after the resurrection of the fake quackpot Lucifer, raise him from the dead, and when he raised him from the dead, then a crown will be given to him. Because when Lucifer resurrects this Antichrist, he becomes the dragon. He becomes the beast. And the world will give a crown to him. They will say, who is like the beast? Who has this authority? And they will give him power, Satan will give him power over every inhabitant on the face of the earth, and the world will say, yes, he is God Almighty, and a crown will be given unto him. The white horse says he had a bow in his hand, and then a crown was given unto him. Well, the crown cannot be given until the Antichrist, until after the resurrection. When he's resurrected, the world will say, yes, this got to be Jesus. And it ain't Jesus. No way Jesus. Jesus already done died, came back from the grave, sitting on the right hand side of the Father in heaven, getting ready to come back to earth. And here, this Antichrist is talking about he Christ on earth, and Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, and here he come with a Christ, our Antichrist. And Satan says, now I got you. I'm going to do this wonderful miracle that's a lie. And then in the 13th chapter, listen to what I'm saying. In the 13th chapter of Revelation, it says there in around about the fifth verse, it says that all the world wondered after the beast. I'll say that again. And all the world wondered after the beast. What you saying, preacher? I ain't what I'm saying. It's what the Bible says. The Bible said majority of the world will go to hell. Oh, y'all don't. I said majority of the world will go to hell. They're going to hell because they refuse to receive Christ and his blood for the atonement of their sin, and they accept the Antichrist, and that's where the mark of the beast will start in the middle of the tribulation period. That's where the beast will start stamping people like a brand of cattle. They will receive a mark, and the mark probably will be visible, but the mark will be used. A lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people don't accept it, but the mark will be used by the computer chip. They got a little small computer chip, small as a grain of rice, that put in the hypodermic needle and shoot it between your index finger and your thumb, and they can detect you everywhere you go. And the out west, they're using it already on automobiles, grocery stores, all kind of business that you do, opening doors, shutting doors. They're using it right now. And people are accepting this thing. And when the Antichrist becomes the beast, and we're going to find out where he's going to be sitting in a minute. We're going to find out where he's going to be sitting in a minute. But I want to tell you this. He's going to be sitting in a place where Apostle Paul mentioned, and we're going to read that in just 1 minute. So you get your Bibles out to 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to read it with me. So if you receive this mark, you have said, I'm selling my soul for the worldly pleasures and the worldly benefit of being able to buy and sell. If I don't receive this mark, this computer chip, this modern technology, state of the art, high technology, if I don't receive this, then I will be arrested and put in jail, and from jail, if I don't bow down to this Antichrist, I will be beheaded. I will be beheaded during the tribulation period. And it's going to be in America. It's going to be around the world, because the Antichrist will be in charge trying to take the place of God, and he will rule the nations under tyranny, under dictatorship. If you don't do what I tell you to do, you are going to be killed, because if you don't receive the mark, that means that you are a believer in Jesus Christ by faith. And by faith, we are saved. So if you put your trust in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period under the tyranny of the guillotine, you will be saved, but you will get your head cut off. And the minute you get your head cut off, you will ascend to the heavenly throne of Jesus Christ. And when the church, oh my God, listen to what I'm saying. You see, the church is going to be in heaven when the 7-year tribulation is going to be on earth. And we are going to witness the thing that's going on earth. We're going to see it. We're going to visualize it and see it. The effect that you have had up on this planet as being a Christian in your community, in your church work, in everything you do, what effect you have had up on people's lives to help them know the power of God Almighty. We are going to witness that. The white horse is getting ready to ride, but the white horse cannot ride until after the rapture, where Jesus Christ is going to open the first seal in the book of Revelation at the 6th chapter. The Antichrist cannot regain full power or get full power until the middle of the tribulation. He will gradually come on the scene real slow and tell the people things that will soothe their mind and make them feel their insecurity, that they are secure. But he's going to explain the UFOs. He's going to explain what happened. He's going to tell you what the UFOs are, and the world is going to visualize it. They're going to see on TV. Yeah, they're aliens. They're not aliens. They're demons. They're devils. And they are using these UFOs because they fell from heaven, and they have power. Woo! They got more power than any human being that you can think of. But they don't have more power than God Almighty. They don't have more power than Jesus Christ. They have no challenge against Jesus Christ because he can control anything, anywhere, anybody. And I thank God, I want him to control my mind, my soul, my spirit. I want him to control me that I can be effective wherever I go to tell this world, amen, time is almost up. We got seven more years in 2029. So the rapture is just, it seems like to me the rapture is about a couple of months away because the rapture month is September, October. Those are the rapture months. Those are the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Atonement, which is the Feast of Yom Kippur and the Feast of Tabernacle. We're getting too close to be comfortable. I am not comfortable. I'm not comfortable because I can't talk about this enough. I cannot relate to this enough. I cannot even go off the air. I cannot sleep at night. Lord, tell me what to say, how to say it, when to say it. Why? Because people need to know, because you don't get it in your regular church service. You don't get it regularly from your regular preacher. The reason why, some are not preaching it because they haven't studied. Some are not really putting the pinpoint on it because they're saying it's not necessary. But let me tell you, if you don't tell your congregation what's going to happen after the rapture of the church, you are going to be responsible for those souls that could have heard and got the word of God, and you're preaching what? Prosperity. You're preaching all kinds of stuff. You're preaching everything but the cross. You're preaching everything but the tribulation period. You're preaching everything but the rebuilding of the temple. You're preaching everything but the restoration of the Jews coming back, because God is going to give the Jews. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. God is going to give the Jews 7 years that he owed them in dealing with the Jewish people for 490 years. He is 7 years short of dealing with the Jewish people because they were cut off at the cross at 483 years. God stopped and let the Jews be cut off from the branch, and he engrafted on the Gentiles, the church. And the church has been grafted in for 2,000 years at the rapture of the church. The church will be committed to be translated to heaven. Then God said, now I'm going back to the Jews, and I'm going to engraft the Jews back on to fulfill the 490 years that I promised them, and that will be fulfilled. The 7-year tribulation will be 490 years that God restored the nation of Israel as the head of all nations. Hallelujah. 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 God is going to restore the Jewish people back into the rightful place as being the head of the nations. By them being the head of the nation, God said, I want you to preach this gospel for the next 7 years. And that's why old John the Revelator broke down and said, listen. He broke down and said, I see a number that no man can number, as many as the sands of the sea. Where did these come from and who are they? How did they get here when the church is gone? How did they get up and testify for the glory of God? And the Bible tells me, God said, I'm going to send. Come on now. Come on. Talk to me, somebody. God's going to send 144,000 Jewish men evangelists. They are going to evangelize the world for how long? 3.5 years. They are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. They're going to preach that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that he's coming back to get what? He's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom that will rule the world for 1,000 years. He's coming back to restore everything that the devil has stole from mankind. He's coming back, to replenish the earth by the tribulation saints that came through the tribulation saints in their natural body. They're going to have a commission to repopulate the earth because they received Christ during the time of the tribulation period. And we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. There won't be no more church service. There won't be no more banqueting. There won't be no more motivation speeches. There won't be nobody getting on TV talking about, look what I got. I got, send me your money. And it ain't going to be about money. It's going to be about salvation. Listen what old John the Revelator penned down in the 7th chapter of the earth. He told the angels, don't do nothing yet. Don't do no harm to the judgment. Don't bring judgment until I seal 144,000. Where did these 144,000 come from? They come from the 12 tribe of Israel. And one of the tribes is John call off roll call. He said, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, still 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. Hey, Lord God Almighty, you don't have to worry about getting up for Sunday school and church Bible study. Well, 144,000 going to give you evangelistic Bible study. They all going to tell the world that Jesus Christ is coming back to set up a millennial kingdom. They're going to tell the media. They're going to tell NBC, ABC. They're going to tell MSNBC. They're going to tell every news broadcast. And it's going to start in Jerusalem, just like the day of Pentecost. These Jews are going to go to the four corners of the earth and say, get ready, get ready. The king is coming to set up the millennial kingdom. And he's going to set it up in a period of 1,000 years. But now we got to preach the gospel, and they're going to preach it for 1,260 days, which equals 3.5 years. They're going to preach it for 3.5 years. They're going to preach it inside of 24/7. In the morning, in the evening. Yes, they are. And they tell me the Gentiles and the Jews are going to hear the gospel of the kingdom, and they're going to come to Christ. Yeah, you talking about salvation. You talking about revival. This is the only biggest universal revival that will ever be upon the planet. They're going to go to the four corners of earth. London, England's going to hear it. Down in the deepest of Africa going to hear it. They tell me Argentina going to hear it. Australia is going to hear. They tell me Russians going to hear. Everybody is going to hear the Jews preach the gospel of the kingdom. And when they get through preaching, they tell me, God said, now your mission is through. I'm going to redeem you from the earth. In other words, they're going to be caught up, or they're going to be killed and then caught up. Whatever the situation is, they're going to remember what their mission was. But after they get through preaching, John said this. Listen what John said. Look at what he said. And he said, I beheld. He said, I beheld. After. He said, after this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. Ain't no more racial discrimination going to be in this thing. Woo, ain't no more color of the skin going to be in this thing. Ain't no more big eyes and little you going to be. It says all nations. Listen what it says. Kindred and people and tongues. And tongues. Stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and into the Lamb. And the angels stood around and about the throne and about the elders, and the beasts, four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and power and might unto our God. And forever, ooh, yeah, forever and ever and ever. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what the word says. And he said unto me, he said, what are these? What are they that's arrayed in what kind of robes? White robes. And whence came they? Where did they come from? And the elder said, and I said to them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. In what? Good God Almighty. In the blood of the Lamb. In the, what you talking about, white robe? Your robe, your white robe is your what? Is your soul. Your soul is whiter than snow. Your soul is cleansed. Your soul is free from sin. Why? Because number one, when Christ comes into your life, he sanctifies your soul. He makes your soul white as snow. And he said, they washed in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he sitteth on the throne that dwells among them. Yay, look here. No more welfare, no more hunger, neither there any more thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, I say the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. You don't have to worry about John Eagle no more. You don't have to worry about nothing, because the Lamb is going to feed us. The Lamb is going to nurse us. The Lamb is going to enjoy us. The Lamb of God, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. You don't have to worry about Jack Daniel. You don't have to worry about Miller Cold Light. You don't have to worry about, oh, my God, Four Roses. Why? Because we're going to drink the living water. Yeah, somebody asked me, when you got saved, when you received Christ, did you stop drinking? I said, no, I just switched bottles. Now, I'm not drinking all that old stuff. I'm drinking the living water that bubbles up inside. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Listen to what I'm saying. And he said, wipe away all tears from their eyes. There ain't going to be no more crying. All your tears going to be wiped away. No more tribulation, no more pain, no more racial discrimination. Hallelujah! You don't have to worry about returning to the cotton field no more. No more cotton picking. You don't have to worry about trying to go to a restaurant and can't get in. No more! Somebody told me from the word of God, John said, I saw a city come down out of heaven. Wow! And it would look like a diamond in the sky. It was 1,500 miles long. It was 1,500 miles wide. It was 1,500 miles high. A city made out of what? Oh, come on, preacher. Made out of pure gold. Streets made out of gold. Walls made out of gold. Gold everywhere. People talking about gold now. This gold down here ain't nothing compared to gold that's made straight from God's hand. You talking about God's transparent. You look inside the gold and look at the gold and you see yourself in the gold. Good God Almighty. And they tell me it's 1,500 miles high and long and wide. And they tell me the population that will be able to fill that city is 53 billion people. 53 billion people can go in that city. And not only that, but you got a countryside. You got the suburban area. Good God Almighty. You talking about heaven? Is out of sight. And they tell me if you've been there 10,250,000 years, you still got a long, endless way because it'll never end. It'll never end. It's always howdy and never goodbye. The devil will be done. The devil will be in hell, burning forever. And all the wicked, all the unsaved, all the whoremongers, all the fornicators, all the drug addicts, all the homosexuals, all the incest, all the racial, all the KKK, all those that reject Jesus Christ will literally burn forever in hell. You don't want to go there. No, you don't want to go there. I don't care how you treat me here on this earth. I got somebody that knows how to treat me. That's Jesus Christ. You can have all the materialistic things of this world to try to make you happy. You can have it all. It's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. And yet still, we got a little time left to tell you that this Antichrist is here. The Temple Mount is getting prepared. The two red heifers is on the horizon. The Ark of the Covenant. The priesthood is being restored in the Jewish realm. The Jews are praying now the Messiah will come. The Messiah will come. Praying is good, but they're praying for the wrong one. And God is going to say, I'm going to give Israel one more test. One more test. Choose you this day in whom you can serve. Joshua said, for me and my household, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve him till I die. I'm going to serve him whether it costs my life or not. I'm going to serve him. Why? Because he's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to shout about. And I don't have no choir here. I don't have no music here. But I tell you one thing, I got Jesus. He's my music maker. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Revelation says, the last church age that we said was Laodicea. We in it. The humanist, hypocritical church that has a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. They're going on political views. They're going on this view. They're going on all kind of ego tripping. They're going on the money view. They're going on every view, but the view that they are missing, they're not viewing the blood of Christ on the cross. He's not on the cross now. He never will go back on the cross. That is over. That is so far over. It is pathetic. Jesus Christ is coming back, my friends. Listen to the word of God. All right, how do I know the temple is getting ready to be built? And it's going to be built soon? Look in the book of 2 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. It ain't coming except there be a falling away. When the fall away comes, is coming when the Antichrist comes. It's falling away now. People are falling away from the true Christ. They're going to fall more away and believe the false Christ. Falling away from holiness, falling away from the love of God, falling away from being consistent, falling away into diverse sins and different kinds of ways to try to reach God. They'll believe anything else, but they won't believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ. Except there come a falling away first, and that man, what man? Man of sin, the devil, the Antichrist, pure sin, low down, dirty sin. They don't refuse sin. They don't repent of the sin. They do anything they want to and call themselves a Christian. Now listen, here is what's going to happen. Number four, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in what? In the temple. The abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet said there's going to be an abominable desolation at the last temple. The last time the abomination of the temple was abominated was in the time of Epiphanes, the time about 167 B.C. The temple was desecrated, an abomination of desolation, because the Epiphanes took a swine. Now, listen what they did. They took a swine and laid it on the altar where the temple and the Ark of the Covenant was, and they slaughtered a swine and went inside the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies was forbidden for anybody to go near the Holies of Holies in the Old Testament. Nobody could go in there and survive, because God, that's what God came down out of heaven, and a pillar of fire was in the midst of the Holies of Holies. The only one that could go inside that temple was a priest, and he had to be 30 years old, had to be blameless, he had to be righteous, he had to be God, but God's chosen. Otherwise, he would drag him out by the rope of his ankle. And so now, here comes Epiphanes of Syria, took a big male swine and cut it, and poured blood all over the Holies of Holies. And he was able to do that because God had left the temple. He had left the temple. And that temple was abominated desolation. That was the last time. And the next time, this temple will be desecrated. The abomination desolation is when the Antichrist sits inside of the Holies of Holies and claim himself to be what? Let's read it out of the scripture. Whosoever opposes himself and exalts himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, showing himself that he is God. He shows himself that he is God. This is the Antichrist after the resurrection of the Antichrist. He's resurrected. He becomes the beast. He claims he is actually God Almighty. He will have authority over the earth for 7 years. He will do miracles. He will make fire come down out of heaven. He will predict things that will come true. He will tell the world and blaspheme the God of heaven, saying that he ain't no good. I am God. Oh, my God. I am God. There ain't no such thing as God. And the world will believe it, that he is God, by the miracles that he does. Because every miracle that's done today is not done of God. God don't do no quack miracles. He don't do no half miracles. He don't show off. If God do a miracle, he can speak the word, and that miracle can occur. You don't have to jump up and shout and roll all over the floor to prove that's a miracle. God can speak to your dying soul right now. If you're not saved, he can speak to your soul and say, let me come in. And if you let him come in, he'll walk on in. You might not feel it like you want to feel it, but if you believe it and you accept it and you confess, he said, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from the tribulation, saved from the guillotine, saved from every horrific thing that's getting ready to hit this earth. How close are we to the rapture? We are so close. It is phenomenal. What's brewing in the fire now? We know that the Jews are building the temple. What else is brewing? The next thing is brewing is World War III. World War III. World War III is in the making right now. It's very quiet now. You don't hear too much about Russia, what they're doing, but what they're doing, they're getting Ukraine cleared out because they need that area. The Russians need that army, and they need that position to come down between the Black Sea and come down on over the top of Haifa, Israel. They're making a pathway. The nations of the world, five nations are making up a great army, an outrageous army through five nations. Five nations will actually make confederate with Russia. And Russia now, Putin now, is making plans to go in confederate with these five nations. I'm going to read the five nations in the 38th chapter. This is what's happening next. And this is what's going to trigger the peace treaty. In the fourth chapter of the 38th, in the fourth verse of the 38th chapter, I'm sorry, the 38th chapter, the fourth verse, it says, God said this to Ezekiel and said, I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws. I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed in all sorts of armor, shield, all of them handling swords. It will be Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, which is North Africa, Libya, which is North Africa, in the middle of North Africa, with them, all of them with shield and helmets. Gomer, which is Germany, all his bands, the house of Togarmah, which is Turkey, of the northern quarters, all his bands, and many people with thee. This invasion will start World War III. Russia will invade Israel. I'll say that again. Russia is going to invade Israel with five nations. Each nation has a great army. They're going to link up and come from the north quarters of Russia and come down on Israel, and they are going to try to conquer the Middle East, which is Jerusalem. They are coming with a great army up on horses. Why horses? The fuel prices are going up. Russia's running out of fuel. They got atomic weapons, but they need transportation through the mountains, and they need horses. And they are going to ride on horses down from the north. All the western, eastern countries, oriental countries, believe in horses. America has about 2.5 million horses. Russia has about 1.5 million horses. Other nations have horses. They are going to make an attack up on Israel. Let me tell you this. And when they come down out of the mountain of Israel, through Israel and through Syria and through Jordan, all down there through the Golan Heights, when they get down there in that area, God is going to fight for Israel. And God is going to give Israel the victory. And the Antichrist will try to get the credit that he done it. You hear what I'm saying? The Antichrist will try to take the credit and say he done it. Because what God is going to do, he's going to stomp his feet. And let me tell you, God got some big feet, honey. And he's going to stomp the land of Israel from the epic center, the center of the human race. He's going to stomp it so hard that he's going to shake the whole world. Oh, yeah. Ooh, Lord, help us. God is going to shake the whole world until the fishes of the sea and all the inhabitants of the earth will quake and will somewhere have a nervous breakdown when God shake the land of Israel, because Russia wants to overthrow Israel and become the controller of the world. And God's going to stomp so hard, he's going to rain fire, brimstone, and hailstone down out of heaven. It's going to be so terrific. It's going to be so awesome that the armies are going to shoot their own men, and that men are going to go wild. They're going to go insane to see what God is going to do for those that fight against the Jewish people. And he's going to do it this generation. I believe it within the next, what, next 7 months, we're going to get something. Something is coming. We know the rapture's coming. And guess what? Guess what? Listen to what I'm saying. God is not going to shake the world and defend Israel until he removes the church. God's going to remove the church, and that would be during the time of the tribulation period. And from that point, guess what? They're going to make a peace treaty. And the world will say, yes, this is Jesus Christ. The Antichrist did it, and it won't be the Antichrist. It'll be God destroying what? Destroying the Russian army. They're going to have an army so big that the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, they shall cover the land like a cloud. And it would be a dark cloud for Israel. But God is light. And in him there's no darkness. He will defend his people. Just like you would defend your family from the enemy on the outside of your family. If anybody bother your family and mess with your children and mess with your husband, you are going to defend your family. And God's family in the beginning of time was through the Jewish families that brought the Savior into the world, that wrote the Holy Scriptures, and was the nation to show other nations that there's only one God, that's God's family. And by God's family, we were grafted into the family, and now we can be called a Jew. Spiritually. Spiritually, I am a Jew. I am a child of God. How come I can be a Jew? Jesus Christ was a Jew. And Jesus Christ spurned me. Spurn my soul with the Holy Ghost. Tell me, when he spurned my soul, I began to cry, Abba, Father, and I become his son. And if Jesus Christ is a Jew, spiritually, I am a Jew. Because I'm born of his spirit, and his spirit is of God, because God is a spirit. But he became man, and he came to the Jewish nation. And yet and still, he picked up some Gentile women to become the ancestor of Jesus Christ. You say, who was that? That was Rahab. We got Ruth. We got Tamar. We got women that were Gentiles. We got Rahab. Came from Jericho. Woo! She became an ancestry of Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, Boaz was born. Boaz begot Jesse. Jesse begot David. David begot Solomon. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam got up and run it on down there, run it on down into Mary and Joseph. And the church was grafted in through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Christ comes, he's coming after the church. God's going to give it back to the Jew. And the Jews going to preach first part of the 3.5 years. The earthquake is going to happen. And the people going to think that this Antichrist is God Almighty, which will not be. And in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to turn on the church, his false church. He's going to turn on Israel. And he's going to become, he can become God, Satan, Lucifer, the Luciferians, all this Baphomet, all these witchcraft societies. There's over 600 occults occult. You hear what I said? Occult religion. Freemasonry, Sphinx, Baphomet, Skeva. All these false gods, over 13 false gods in the Old Testament. False gods. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God of the Zodiac, God of the Moon, God of Titus, God of Hercules. All those are false gods, fallen angels, Nephilim, wicked, demonic, demon spirits that's ruling the civilization today. It's coming to a close. God's going to send 144,000. After 144,000 is done in the middle of the tribulation, God's going to send two witnesses. And the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, two men in the Old Testament that did not fulfill their ministry. And God said, you're going to fulfill it. You're going to finish it. You're going to finish it the last 3.5 years. Moses didn't finish his ministry. And Elijah didn't finish his ministry. Elijah got so depressed and so down and out because of Jezebel. He went down there in the wilderness under a juniper tree and they start crying, Lord, I'm the only prophet left. And I want to die. I don't want to be here. Jezebel is trying to kill me. And he's up on the Mount Carmel a few days earlier. Amen. And he destroyed 450 false prophets by cutting their heads off. Come on, y'all, read the Bible. God don't play. Jezebel start running. She start getting scared, saying, Elijah don't kill my prophet. I'm gonna get that Negro. He messing with my men. She wasn't but a prostitute. She was prostitute, 850. She had 850 bells. They ain't but prostitutes. And God said, I'm sick of her. I'm sick of her. Go down there and tell Jezebel gonna die. And she died a cruel death, the most horrific death that ever was recorded in the Word of God. And that was two eunuchs up on the balcony was ordered to throw her down. And her body hit the wall, and blood spattered on the wall and hit the ground. Chariots came and ran over her. The dog pound was set loose. The dog came and ate everything except her head, her hands, and her feet. And God told her to order them to bury her and don't put no grave marker over it. She was an impotent woman. It represents the false church today. Because a false church is found riding up on the scarlet beast with a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of the earth. The church is doomed. The false church, you hear what I said? The false church is doomed for hell because they literally, willingly deny the offertory sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, is going to preach for the last 3.5 years. 3.5 years, they're going to preach radio, TV, internet, Twitters. Every activity of technology will be on the line. You don't have time for Facebook. Facebook and all this stuff got to go because people are going to be walking around in total fear to see what's coming up on the face of the earth. They're going to preach. What are they going to preach? They're going to preach the gospel of the king. They're going to preach that it won't rain for 3.5 years. Elijah going to do that. And it's not going to rain the last 3.5 years on this earth. And then Moses said, bring the plagues on. Moses brought the plagues, 10 plagues in Egypt. I think it's 8 of them are going to be repeats. There ain't going to be no water. Water going to turn to blood. Oh, man, it's going to be hailstones. There's going to be fire. And they're going to preach continually for 3.5 years each year. Each year, January through December, January through December, January through December, January to March, 3.5 years, they are going to preach the gospel until the world want to stop their ears up. And men still won't repent. And then they're going to be slain in the streets of Jerusalem and lay in the streets for 3.5 days, and their body is going to swell up. We're coming to the close. We come to the close of the end of the tribulation period. And just before the end of the tribulation period, Moses and Elijah are going to be resurrected, and they're going to ascend into heaven, and then the moon will turn to blood. The sun will go out. It'll practically be pitch black dark until a portal opens in heaven. Listen to what I'm saying. A portal will open in heaven and roll back like a strobe. And light will shine as bright as a morning star. And Jesus Christ will come out of heaven. And he will be riding a white horse. And this horse is found in the book of Revelation 19 and 11. 19 chapter, the 11th verse. And he says he shall be riding a white horse. And his eyes was flame of fire. And his hair on his head was white like wool. And he had a vesture dipped in blood. And had a name on his thigh called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he had an army. Oh, my God. He had an army following him. And the army is the armies of the Lord. And the armies of the Lord is the church. Coming back with Jesus Christ. We done been in heaven for 7 years. We don't got our rewards. We're coming back to earth to set up what? The millennial kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right here on this earth. On this earth, we're going to rule and we're going to reign with Jesus Christ. And Christ is going to give each saint their position to rule with him. Some will have more responsibility, will rule more, some will rule less. But God's going to give you equal of what's due to you. That's why he said, work until the day is done, because you're going to be rewarding your position according to your works, not your salvation. Your salvation is already acquired. Jesus Christ is coming back. And the way the Bible looks at, I look at the Bible and I read it, and I say, 2029 is the close of the 6,000 years. The close of the church age will be at the rapture. The church will be done with their mission. I'm sorry to say, I don't feel good. I failed God. Church folks have failed God. Christians have failed God. We did what we could, but we didn't do it good enough. But yet and still, God give us grace. He still loves us. And you're going to get rewarded on what you've done here on earth. That's the gospel. The gospel is not money. The gospel is not how well you fare. The gospel is not your education. The gospel is nothing but Jesus Christ saving your soul that you can work for him and be a light to the world. Jesus Christ is coming back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on the Middle East. What's going on? Look at the situation that the world is in and the world that our country is in now. It's in a mess, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get better only for the saints of God. For the sinner man, if he don't receive Christ as his Lord and Savior, it's going to get worse. It's going to be hell on earth. Don't miss the rapture, because after the rapture, you're going to have to face the Antichrist. You're going to have to face the dragon. The dragon is coming. You're going to have to face the wicked spirits that's coming to this earth. because devil and all his angels and all his cohorts are going to be cast to the earth. They're going to be cast to the earth, and they are going to be able to sting men that they want to die and can't die. You can't hide them from them nowhere, and Jesus Christ is going to let the 144,000 and the two witnesses finish the gospel for the Jewish people to let you know time is running out. The Russian war, the Gog and Magog war, is in the making now, and it will happen during the tribulation period. And the tribulation period cannot happen until the church is moved out. You got your house in order. You got your soul in order. You got your mind in order. You got your soul sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You confess your sins to Christ, and you repent of your sins, and you turn from your wicked ways. Every way that you know that's wicked, turn away from it and say, Lord, you guide me, you lead me, you save me, you sanctify me, you justify me. I want you to do it. I'm not going to try to sanctify myself. Jesus Christ can sanctify you, and then you will grow in sanctification. And remember, without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder for those that diligently seek him. By faith, Abraham walked with God. By faith, Enoch was translated from earth to glory. And by faith, the church, born-again believers, by faith, they will be translated from earth to heaven in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. Why don't you come to Christ? You need Jesus Christ right now. Apostle Paul said, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. It's not our works. It's not our works. It's not our works. It's by grace. It's by faith. It's by submitting your soul to Jesus Christ right now. Lord, I am, if you're a sinner, you can repeat this. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I am a hypocrite. Lord, I know I ain't right. I know I'm still outside the ark of safety. Lord, I'm just going by form and formality. Lord, come into my life. I am sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for me even thinking, trying to fool you. I'm sorry for having a bad feeling towards you, because you're a good God. You're a good God. You're a good God all the time. And I'm turning to you by your goodness. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. My friends, it's your pleasure to be with you. Thank you for your listening. Come back Wednesday evening at 9 o'clock. And we'll talk about this some more. This is Elder G. Bazaar saying good day.